Maybe we've got things working a little bit better on the sound this evening. It's amazing sometimes the technical difficulty that you have with smart technology, and all it is two dead batteries. So we kind of figured that out. Can you hear it better, Chuck? Good. Just a note on Brother Frank. His right carotid artery is what has the 50% blockage this time. That's what caused him to have the stroke yesterday. But again, the family asked, not that they don't appreciate the calls and the text messages, but they've been just overrun with them. And not that they don't want to hear from you, but they need a little reprieve, they said, so they will let us know when they want to hear or need to hear from us, but they're going to keep us posted on everything that's going on with Brother Frank. The main thing they asked for is the prayers, and I said, well, that's a given, so we'll keep praying. As I stated this morning about the lesson tonight, I had someone request a series of lessons on the elders and the deacons. And I'll just tell you up front who it was that asked for it. It was Brother Frank. It was right before he stepped down from being an elder, and he asked me to bring a series of lessons on the eldership. So from that time, I've been working on this series. So I'm going to begin by stating that in order for any congregation of God's people to be pleasing to God today, there has to be proper organization. Now, a study of any organization and function of the New Testament church is one of the most important things that we can look at today. We live in a day and a time when you talk about religion and it's confusing. There are so many different religions in the country, in the world, that want you to go in 100 different directions. And they're deviating from the pattern that we have in God's Word. Part of that deviation from the pattern of God's Word is on elders and deacons. You take some of our denominational neighbors. You go to a good old Baptist church, and there will be a deacon that meets you at the door. And then you'll be introduced to the pastor who stands in the pulpit. And they have one pastor most of the time. They might have an associate pastor. But they twist the order of the church around. When you read in the pages of God's Word, there are multiple pastors, bishops, presbyters, or elders. There are multiple deacons. But their jobs are completely different. And then there's one preacher, maybe two preachers in a two-preacher arrangement. But this day and time, people, as we point out with everything else, they want their way when it comes to religion, when it comes to serving God. And it cannot be that way. We are not a people of God that are given to confusion. In fact, the Bible condemns that. But we live in a day and a time that's filled with religious confusion because everybody wants to deviate from the pattern that God has given us. For example, you turn on the TV and you watch Joyce Myers. Not that you will or you do, but you can because that's where she's at. But you look at any other preacher, any other church today, and they have women preachers. And the best known is probably Tammy Faye Baker. Y'all remember her? Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, the best thing I remember about them, or not the best thing, but the biggest thing I remember about them is building a doghouse and putting an air conditioner in it. But you look at these people, and they think that that's what society wants, is a woman to stand in the pulpit. But that's a deviation from God's pattern. We look at innovations today, and everybody thinks we've got to have strobe lights and disco balls and mood lights and everything like this, and they want everybody to hold up holy hands in their worship service. Rock and roll bands. And these things have crept into the worship service, and they have disrupted the mission of the church. How many congregations do you drive by today, you look at their marquee, and they say, we're having contemporary service at 9, traditional at 10, or whatever? What they're saying is the traditional is what the old folks want because they want to stick to God's Word as much as possible. But in order to get the young people in and keep them happy, we have to have a contemporary worship service. Again, they are deviating from God's pattern that He has given us. The plan by all of these people is to mellow out and compromise the call of the gospel. This is one I really go to when I want to pick on the denominational world. And you know, Marilyn and I took a few minutes, about 10 or 15 minutes yesterday morning, to listen to him preach. And he made some good points. But it's basically, he's not there to preach Scripture. He's there to make you feel good. And if he can make you feel good in your worship of God, then the more money he's going to rake in, and the richer he's going to get. So it's all about him. And remember, I keep telling you that when you worship God, it ain't about you. It's about serving God and doing what God says do. But some quotes from Joel Osteen, he says, "Mormonism is a little different, but I still see them as brothers in Christ." How can you be a brother in Christ to someone that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? How can you be a brother in Christ to someone who believes completely different from what you read in the Word of God? Mormonism doesn't even believe that the Bible is the fullest of God's Word. They believe that there was another translation. Then you have him saying, he says here, Osteen does not, well, this is a quote about him, that he doesn't even use the word sin or sinners. He just wants you to feel good. Whatever condition you're in, he just wants you to feel good. And it doesn't matter if you have sin in your life or if you are a sinner, because he's not going to mention that. And it's no wonder if you look and watch any of his services that he has 30,000 people in the old Staples Center in L.A. or wherever he's at, Colorado, wherever he's at. But in all of this, it's no wonder that people are flocking to him. How much would you like it if somebody says, "Don't worry about that sin. You'll be all right. Just keep doing what you want to do. Just keep on coming. Just bring, make sure you bring that check every week. Mail it in or whatever." But he doesn't have a problem with people that are in sin. He said, in its place, apparently, something like a mistake. It's not a sin, it's just you messed up. You made a mistake in your life. There are two main goals when studying any Bible topic. The first goal is that we want to bring glory and honor to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can't do that, then we're wrong. And the second thing is that we need to edify every Christian here in the knowledge, with the knowledge of the New Testament concerning the organization of the church. My job as a preacher is not to stand up here and make you feel good like Joel Osteen does. My job is to instruct, to teach, and to warn. And part of that is by edifying all Christians, helping all Christians learn to edify one another. There are three times that a congregation has a highly stressful moment. And I'm not going to ask you what they are because I don't want you speaking up and hearing yourself on the live stream. One of them is when you have a building project. We just installed a new sound system. There was some stress involved in that because everybody's not going to be happy with it. But I will say this. The virus got us for realizing that we were behind the times on everything that we had. And I believe the upgrade was beneficial because, as they stated, we had someone sent a message to Chuck this morning that it was really good. So there's that. But it is a stressful time. If Eastside were bursting at the seams and we wanted to build a new auditorium out here, there would be bickering and fighting over that. There have been churches that have divided over a building project because the color of the carpet, for example, is an issue, believe it or not, sometimes. Well, I don't like that color. Let me tell you, if it came to a building project or even replacing this carpet, I don't care. It could be diaper rash yellow for all I care. It's just a thing. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to let something like that break the bond of fellowship that I have with you. Another stressful time is hiring a preacher. You just went through that in December. And there was some stress involved in it. I wasn't here, but I know there was stress because I've been through those moments in my life. And another time that is highly stressful on a church is during the appointment of elders and deacons. I've been through that too. And it's stressful, especially if someone's name comes up and then half the congregation attacks that fellow. Because it's not just him, it's his wife and children that get attacked as well. If they don't like him, a lot of the time they're going to go after his family. So if a man's going to serve as an elder, he's got to be thick-skinned. And his family has got to understand they're going to have to be thick-skinned as well. Because there again, you're never going to do what makes everybody happy. The same is true with deacons. There's always going to be somebody that's unhappy with the way a certain deacon is doing or not doing his job. So these are stressful times. But I want to begin tonight by talking about the nature of church organization. The organization of the church has been in question since Catholicism came into the world, since the beginning of the Catholic Church. You'll remember the Catholic Church came onto the scene and it told all the churches that you need to send one representative to Rome to represent you. They called them bishops. They upset the organization of the church. So man has always, just like we talked with Abraham this morning in our lesson on faith, man has always wanted to do things better, thinking he's helping God. But he's not. There have been a number of concepts of church organization, church government throughout the years. The Catholic Church is the biggest that we see. But a lot of these stem back to what we know as the Reformation movement. But one thing is for certain. Many different ideas have been presented and with a lot of argument. And it's been happening for many years. Man has always argued about how the church should be run. But when you think about it, you come back to this book right here and it's perfect. Because God had it written. It's inspired by Him. God is perfect. His Son is perfect. That's what our denominational friends keep telling us. Well, there's nobody perfect but Jesus. I agree. This Word is perfect. The church is perfect. If we'll just keep our two cents out of it and just do what God says do, the church is perfect. And we need to back off of things and leave my feelings out of it and let the church flow and do what God told it to do. But all of these have followed the New Testament pattern. If they would follow the New Testament pattern, then all would be found incorrect. All these things that we look at today in churches would be incorrect. Just like the women preachers, just like Joel Osteen saying, it's not sin. You just made a mistake. God loves you and He wants you to be happy. If we follow the New Testament pattern, simply put, just like faith that we discussed this morning, a simple faith, simple obedience is all it takes for the church to be what God would have it to be. And those who are seeking honestly the truth, the doctrine of Christ and His apostles are going to know that it just takes simple obedience. Nothing grand, nothing spectacular. You can't be like Naaman who goes and expects that the prophet of God is going to come out and hold up some kind of holy hands and say, oh, blah, 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 just, you know, riddle off something and his leprosy is going to be cured. He told him to dip seven times in the Jordan River. Oh, well, that's too nasty. I could go home and find cleaner water than that. But here, The same is true to us today. Simply obey God. Simply follow God's pattern, and everything will work out. And if we do that, then everything is settled. Every matter is settled if we simply follow God's will. Now, as we move on, we need to look at the definition of terms. If you think about it, a church is an organism. It's a living thing. In the sense that this definition says any organized body or living economy, any individual, animal, or plant. That describes a church. We are an organism. We are in the state of being organized. We're organized in that we follow God's pattern for what He would have the church to be. There is ways that a church can be unscripturally organized, where they have men that are qualified to serve as elders, but they don't serve. They still have the business meeting. You can be scripturally organized, having men that are qualified to serve as elders and deacons. And there's many other varieties of God of organization that we can look at. But we need to be in a state of being organized. We should be an organized body of people. We are an organization. And in that sense, we are a living body because we're an organ. Now, when we talk about organization, it is the act of organizing, the act or process of arranging into proper working order as the organization of an expedition. You watch these movies, and they're getting ready to go out and explore the North Pole. Go back to the 40s and 50s when they got ready to do this. Or look at these old movies of Tarzan. And they go out, and they're getting ready to form these expeditions. They don't just jump off the boat and say, "Y'all follow me." Lewis and Clark, remember them? They performed an expedition. They had to make preparation. There had to be some planning in their efforts. In a congregation, a church of God's people, there has to be some organization. There has to be some planning on how things are going to work. We are in the state of being organized. That which is organized, an organized body. But we are organized, as I have said repeatedly, according to God's plan, God's pattern. The arrangements of the parts of an aggregate or body for work or action, the systemic preparation for action. That comes from Webster's Dictionary. That's what is the definition of an organization, and that's what we are. We are an organized group of God's people following simply God's pattern, His New Testament pattern for the New Testament church. But we have to understand that there is a necessity for this organization. You can't just walk in here and not have some organization. Do you realize that there was some organization in just having this service tonight? Brother James had to be organized in making the announcements. And trust me, with as many announcements as we've got here, you have to be organized. And Brother Larry helps out a great bit on that. But if he didn't do that and we just had to come in here at the last minute and start making notes on announcements, how many would not be made? The song leader puts some preparation into it. He has to be organized in what he's going to say. What if I got up here and I said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to preach on tonight." Y'all'd go to the elders first thing and say, "Y'all need to fire that dude." But what if I got up here and I said, "Well, the Lord will lay it on my heart what I need to preach." And I just open up the Bible and I go, "Here we go. We're going to study Daniel chapter 9 tonight." What would you think? Well, that rascal didn't put any planning into what he prepared to say. He's not organized in his thoughts. You may think that anyway, that Jeff doesn't have any organization in his thoughts. But there is necessity in organization. Your house, whether it's confused organization or not, runs on organization. Isn't that right, Sister Rosalie? You ladies, you know what's in your cabinets, don't you? Because you've got it organized. You know where the cleaning products are, probably under the sink. You know where the canned beans are. You know where this pot's at. And the husband go in there and he's going to fry an egg. And he'll say, "Sweetheart, where's that skillet at I like to use?" Because he don't know where the organization is in that kitchen, does he? But there is a necessity for organization, and especially in the church. If we didn't have any organization, what would happen when the doors were open? Well, who would make sure the doors were open? Who would make sure the air conditioner was running? In case you didn't notice, Travis got up and turned the heater off on the baptistry. Who would make sure we had warm water? Who would make sure the electric bill got paid so that you could have some semblance of air conditioning in here? You see, there has to be some organization. It is necessary for a church to function. So as we talk about here, organization, it's absolutely necessary. We can't just walk in here and say, well, I want... Travis, you led the singing tonight. I don't like that song you led. I want another song led. Well, that's going outside of Travis's organization for the evening. You can't come up to Ethan, who led the singing this morning, and say, I want this song led. A lot of this song leading is preparation. And by the way, while we're on song leading, you might not notice it here, and I haven't, but I've been places where the song leader leads the singing and there's somebody sitting in the back singing it according to the Chuck Wagon Gang or Porter Wagon or Elvis Presley. That's not right. If this man is up here leading the singing, you follow him. He's the leader. That's what we've been talking about in these Saturday morning Bible studies at Danny's place. If a man's standing up here, he's the leader. You follow his lead. I don't care if he leads it too slow, too fast, too high, or whatever. You follow his lead. If he's out of tune, follow his lead. Or wait till you can catch up to where he's at. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to have organization. And it is absolutely necessary. It's necessary in order to have an accomplishment to the fullest ability when two or more people are gathered together with any given task associated with anything they're doing. We come together to worship God. We need to have some semblance of organization. It's absolutely necessary. Now again, the Bible condemns unorganized worship. Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. You ever realize what he's talking about there? Just like I said with the song leader. He may be singing, leading the song the way he understands it and knows it. You can't sit in the back and sing it the way Porter Wagner did. You have to follow his lead. I don't care if he's wrong, you follow his lead. If you're singing it the way you want it to be sung, then you're not doing things decently and in order. We look at the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. Paul says again, for God is not a God of confusion. He is a God but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. What's he telling us there? We have to be organized. We have to gel together, so to speak, so that everybody's on the same page. We have to work together. You know, the lack of good organization in the church is possibly the greatest hindrance in the job that it has to do. The lack of good organization. You know, confusion is the worst thing that we could ever face. When people come in and they don't have any idea what's going on, where they need to be, you know, it's like taking kids and putting them on a football field to march at a halftime show. And some of you know what I'm talking about. When you train for that, you put a little pin or a little piece of flag on the training field so you remember where you're supposed to be when it comes to game time. And that, yet there's always that one individual that forgets where their tape is at. I've seen kids on the football field when they start marching backwards on their toes, and the one is out of place, and it starts a domino effect of kids falling. But now you apply that to the Lord's church. If we're not walking in step and things are being done decently and in order, what do we have? If those kids are falling down like dominoes around a football field, that's mass confusion. There's no place for that in the Lord's church. We have elders. We are to follow their lead as long as they're leading in a scriptural way. And that does away with confusion. We look at this world and when it comes to religion, and as we stated earlier, there's 101 different directions on where people say that you ought to go to follow God. But since the Lord only has one church, and He has given the pattern for that one church in the pages of His Word, it follows that the organization revealed in the New Testament is only acceptable by this pattern that we see. This pattern that is called the New Testament Word of God, that's the only pattern that is acceptable to God. Again, it doesn't matter what you want, what you think is best. You have to adhere to the pattern. End of story. Any departure or any substitution for this divine pattern is heresy. It's blasphemy before God. It is sinful for us to try to do anything other than what God's Word tells us to do. It is our final authority. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter writes, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." We have everything we need in the Word of God. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything we know in how to organize the church. All we've got to do is go to God's Word, which that's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All you have to do is pick up this book and see what God would have you to do, and then just simply, as we talked about with Abraham this morning, just simply do it. That's all it takes, is simple obedience. But since the Bible is given by God, it furnishes us to every good work. That's what Paul just told Timothy. And it is necessary for the church to be organized after the divine pattern. If Esau is going to be acceptable to God, we've got to follow this book. In our organization, in our work, in, if you want to call it a mission, whatever we do, if we're going to be acceptable to God, it's got to be according to this book. No other book. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. I don't care what Jim and Tammy Faye Baker say. I don't care what the world says. If we're going to be acceptable to God, we simply do what God's Word says do. But you know, if we allow any deviation from the divine organization of the local church, how then can we object righteously to any changes or innovations in worship? If we're not following God's pattern when it comes to the organization of the church, and somebody comes in here and says, "I think we ought to put mood lights in. Y'all put these new lights up here. Let's put some changes in there, some slides, so that they change colors according to the message." And then somebody says, "Well, I'll tell you what, if we're going to do that, let's stand up with holy hands and do a holy wave. Well, you know, if we're going to do that, let's just bring this stage out and we'll put guitars and a piano up here." Well, now, listen, if you're going to go that far, let's take out the first five rows and bring this stage on out so we can put a choir up here too. Where does it stop? We have to begin with simply obeying the pattern that God has given us. Any change, any deviation from that is a sinful thing. But also, if we deviate from that, then we're changing the terms of entrance in the Lord's church, aren't we? If the Lord says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," that's what we need to stick to. Again, the final passage is one that we've already noticed. "But all things should be done decently and in order." I say amen to that. Because the church is a perfect function. It is a perfect design by God. Man needs to keep his two cents out of it and just simply do what God would have him to do. Now, like I said, this is the beginning of a series on the eldership, but in order to do that, you have to understand that the organization is something that's designed by God. The church is perfect because God designed it to be that way. Entrance into that church is perfect as well. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Just a simple act of faith. But he also says that if you've done that and you've brought sin into your life, allowed your life to be enveloped or engulfed by the world, that you can come back to him. When Simon the sorcerer saw Peter and the other apostles laying hands on those people in Samaria, he wanted to buy that gift of the Holy Spirit. He had already obeyed the gospel. Hadn't been a Christian for very long. But he wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter told him, "Thy money perish with thee. You need to repent and pray that perhaps of the thought of your heart be forgiven you." Where do you stand tonight? If Christ were to come back tonight, if the trumpet were to sound and the doors were to open and Christ was standing here and this was the judgment, where would you be? If you're outside of Christ, he's going to tell you to depart from me if you never put him on in baptism. If you've put him on in baptism, but you've allowed sin to come back into your life, you're in a lost condition. And guess what his response to you is going to be? It's going to be the same for the one that has never obeyed the gospel. So if you're here tonight and you find yourself in the position, in the need of obeying the gospel call, then I encourage you, while we stand and sing, to make your way to the front.